Wes Chandler has joined us on Sports Byline USA. I mentioned that you were taken in the first round, third overall, back in the 1978 draft. At what point in your college career did you think that you had an opportunity to maybe play at the next level?
You know, it's ironic that you say that, because my first year, I remember the first time I went out to play before, you know, 70,000 people at the University of Florida. At that time, it was called Florida's Field. Now it's a swamp. And the first time I had a play action pass called for me, my hands started to sweat. I mean, they were just wringing wet. And I'm praying to God that, hey, just give me the strength and the opportunity to catch this ball. And sure enough, it was just a simple slant pattern, but I caught it, hung on to it, was able to make a couple yards after the catch. And after that, of course, most schools go away as they did back now. Back then, you know, we took trips down to Ocala, Florida, which is just about 30 miles outside of Gainesville, just about a 35-minute bus ride. And so every Saturday morning coming back to the swamp, you know, I would just ask God to give me the strength to do to duplicate what I had done the week before, to bless me and allow me to thrill the fans with his restored talent. And because let me tell you something, the things that I was doing was happening so fast on the football field that no mere mortal could ever, you know, think that fast and make his body do certain things in the given situations. And I found myself getting out of traps in the open field and things of that nature and making moves so fast that you just can't think, you just can't process it that fast. So I realized then that I had a talent, but not such that it would get me into the National Football League. And then when I became a junior at the University of Florida, Gil Brandt came through, and he was looking at the senior class. And, of course, back then there were a lot of red shirts, and, of course, I was able to play four straight years at Florida. But a lot of the seniors that he was looking at, you know, were just passing on the little things back to us as the class to be seniors the following year. And they were giving us all this information at the start of spring practice about what it was going to be like, the whole nine yards. And I was just fascinated by the things and just trying to learn, you know, from those individuals what it was like to play pro football, because I always thought it was just too big of a game and the players were too fast, you know, the whole nine yards for a guy like me from a small town. And yet here I was going into my junior year at Florida. And so when that season, you know, finally got started and got underway, I was doing things that was, you know, that was pretty remarkable.
As I mentioned, you were picked third overall in the 78 draft. And usually when a team, unless they trade up to get somebody or picking third, that means the team wasn't very good the year before. What kind of team was New Orleans when you got drafted into them?
New Orleans was a team that was consistently at the bottom of the pack. And it's kind of ironic how this all panned out. With originally when I finished my senior year, it was Tampa Bay who had the first pick, and it was all about the fact that, you know, I was there at Florida, and they had a strong interest, and of course they hadn't won any games either. The Buccaneers, they were new, and there was interest there, major interest there, and so I took a visit there, and, you know, all of a sudden the Houston Oilers come along, and they decided, hey, we want Earl Campbell. So the trade was made from Tampa to Houston to draft a friend of mine, Earl Campbell, and so we took a visit to Kansas City. And I'm following a guy who, again, my high school coach became my legal representative. And certainly we went to Kansas City, who had the second pick, and we get off the airplane, and I had the fortunate pleasure of being picked up by Otis Taylor. You know, one of my idols of watching the great games from Kansas City Chiefs days. And they were playing outdoors, and for me, being a wide receiver, back then it just wasn't conducive for me to go to Kansas City to play in the – of course, I would have played for any team that was going to draft me. I was, you know, I was going to be fortunate for that. But my attorney was playing this game of, no, that's not conducive to you to have a great career, even though you could probably have one. Then we went to New Orleans, who was third, It's at New Orleans. They've got a situation. They got a great quarterback there, and Archie Manning, that just traded for Ike Hass and Conrad Dobler from St. Louis. And he said you got a great tight end in Henry Childs. They got two great running backs in Tony Galbraith and Chuck Muncy. It seems like it's an offense that's on the rise. They just need someone on the other side. He said if it were left up to me, the New Orleans Saints would be a great fit for you, Wes. You would still be in the South, and you'd still be close enough for Mom, because, you know, God bless him, he always thought it was more important for me to be able to see my family, because he knew that they were my greatest motivation and force, and just to be able to play before them from time to time. And sure enough, the New Orleans Saints had enough interest in me that they called me up and said, if you're around in the third round when the draft starts, you are our guy.
And after 4 years in New Orleans, then, you were traded to San Diego to replace receiver John Jefferson, who was traded then on to the Green Bay Packers after a bitter contract holdout. How much pressure, Wes, did you feel coming in and replacing a guy of that stature?
Well, the first thing was I couldn't understand why they would make a trade and contract dispute when my good friend J.J. was drafted, you know, about eight spots below me, and here I was, a higher draft choice, and they had to absorb that contract. So I was just trying to figure out what was this all about. And I remember Tank Younger coming down to New Orleans, and when they said, the coach want to see you, I go into Dick Nolan's office, and this is when Mike Nolan and his brother was babies running around. And he said, we're gonna trade you to San Diego. Well, back then I had a no-cut, no-trade contract, and unless I had would sign off on it. So I called my attorney and said, hey, there's a trade being made for me to go to San Diego. He said, if you haven't packed your bags already, he said, I'll be on the next airplane headed to North, and I'll pack them for you myself. You know, I remember playing San Diego once when I was in New Orleans, and I didn't realize we were pretty decent. We finished 8-8 the first time we'd ever won eight games there. But by the time we played the Chargers that same year, but it was 35-0 at the half. And I just sat there and I marveled at the things that J.J. was doing as a rookie. And here I was just sucking away, and Kellen Winslow was having fun, and Charlie Joyner was having a wonderful time. And they were just playing lights out football, fun and gun. The biggest thing that happened was the fact that the general manager said to me, he asked me, did I like to play catch? I'm like, well, yeah, I like to play catch. He said, well, that's what we do in San Diego. We play catch. And, you know, it's really funny, Ron, because I didn't realize what he meant by that until I got to San Diego and I got to the first practice, and our 30-play offensive script consisted of about 10 straight passes, one run in which Don Correll said, that'll keep them honest, and we threw the ball about 20 more times.
So it was a wide-open offense under Don Correll. They called it Air Correll at that time, and I want to take you back for just a second because I believe one of the greatest games ever played in NFL history. They talk about the 1958 game that the New York Giants had, that championship game, but I'll tell you what, the one they call the Epic in Miami, that was the 81 AFC playoff game where you caught six passes for 106 yards. You returned a punt 56 yards for a touchdown, and the Chargers won that game 41-38. The one thing that I am always struck by in that game is how any of you all had the energy to keep playing, because that was a demanding type of game.
The will to win is something that was, you know, we had back then, and I look at quarterbacks now, there's some pretty decent quarterbacks in the National Football League. There's some great quarterbacks. But when I look back at the era in which I played, there were a lot of great quarterbacks, and every team had at least one to two good ones with backup. Backups were pretty decent as well. And I remember Dan Fouts saying to us, you know what, it's time for us to stand up and be counted. And, Wes, you're playing here at home. There is no way, because you're going to have to live this down the entire offseason. There is no way we're going to come this far to lose. And it became a war. In the first quarter, it was funny for us because it was 24 first quarter points. And so it was like, this is easy. And we just didn't feel as if we could be beat with that type of lead, even though we were not playing great defense at the time. We were still a team. We were still a team. And it didn't matter what our defense did. Offensively, we had more confidence probably than any offense I'd ever associated myself with. Because we knew we could take it, we could have it last, and we would win if the game was in the balance. We would win the football game.
You hold the NFL record for yards receiving in a game for a season, 129 yards per game. That record still stands. And I'm just wondering, when you take a look at what you did that season and averaging that triple-digit numbers, what was the key to the success for that?
The key to the success was the fact that I had some guys on the other side. As I mentioned, we had a great backfield. And when you think about some of the guys who we had, Chuck Muncie, and then of course we had James Brooks at the time, and then of course we had Kellen Winslow at tight end and Charlie Joyner at the other side. And at that time, Charlie was the NFL's all-time leading rusher, leading receiver going to be. And I had a quarterback that just was relentless. And getting the football, and it was ironic because for us, before Al Saunders came along as the receivers coach at San Diego, we didn't have a receivers coach. Ernie Zampezi, our offensive coordinator, was the receivers coach, quarterbacks coach, and offensive coordinator, all rolled into one. And Ernie did a great job in designing our offensive scheme and the things we were going to be good at and the things that we had confidence in. And so on third down, we threw those things. On second and long, we threw those things. In crunch time, we designed, because we were a number system offensive unit. So the best route for me was a deep dig and or a post, and the best route for Charlie Joyner was a seam route. And Kellen, it was an out. And it was a crossing route. And so we combined those numbers, and that's how we came up with those plays. And that's what Ernie Zampezi called. He let us go out and play the game.
When you think back on your long, successful career, is there a particular moment that is kind of engraved in your mind? And I would think that maybe it would be that playoff game that you had against the Steelers when you had 9 receptions for 124 yards.
Well, that was one of them, in the simple fact that I just felt I couldn't be stopped at that particular time. But I felt that offensively we were in sync, we were in rhythm that year, and certainly even the game in Cincinnati where the elements were just it took what could have been a classic football game away from the players. But I look at even the Steelers and playing against a great defense on the road. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback and 2 Hall of Fame receivers and probably one of the greatest running backs that I've ever played the game to in Chuck Muncie.
When you look at your career and think about it, what are you most proud of then?
I'm most proud of the opportunity. I really am, and I'm grateful because there are so many people that have far greater talent that I could have ever wanted to have or imagined. Because I look at players today and I see guys who have tremendous talent and were probably better athletes than I ever dreamed of being. And to be able to just go out there and associate myself with guys who have walked, similar paths, if not the same as mine, and for more intriguing stories about their life and their journey to the National Football League, I have to take my hat off and say thank you, God, for blessing me, bestowing me with this talent, and giving me the opportunity to reach a childhood dream.
Well, Wes, I want to thank you for sharing that childhood dream and also your fine career with us and the fans and the listeners around the world. It's well-deserved, and you did distinguish yourself, but not only on the field, but off the field as well. Thank you very much for joining us here on Sports Byline, Wes.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me.
Wes Chandler with us, former wide receiver, 11 seasons in the league, New Orleans, San Diego, and San Francisco, and coming out of the University of Florida. We continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.